ॐ किरणमिन्हन्दस्य जनजनसलकय चक्षुस्मिलितञ्जैनस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थपितं जैन भूतले सायं रूपकदामयं ददति सापदन्तिकं वंशकपथुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च पतितनं पवनेभ्यो The quality of Krishna's that was clearly exhibited in the first part of this 86th chapter showed how Krishna will do anything for his devotees, because Krishna is the lover of his devotees. He has so many wonderful qualities. He has so much aishwarya, opulence, so much maidurya, and so much sweetness, and also karunya, so much mercy. But, and this is his nature, his very substance, but the quality that is the closest to his heart, and the quality that most endears him to the devotees is bhaktivatsalya, that he is the devotee of his devotees. And he wants everyone to know this. Dasyam tad vidam loka atmano britya vasyata. He wants everyone to know. He wants, just saying it isn't enough. So he demonstrates it continuously, again and again, that he wants to be controlled by his devotees. He wants to serve his devotees. It is his greatest pleasure. He aswatantro Ivan Ripa, that he is not independent. He is under the control of his devotees, Sadubhya Grastaridayam. They have captured him. They have captured his heart. So that quality is so sparkling in Krishna's consciousness. But that's not the only quality that he possesses. And as we read the next section of this chapter, which is verses 13 through 26 or so, 26 or 27. I found this part so interesting because the chapter is Krishna pleases his devotees, or he blesses his devotees. And in this chapter, Krishna is going to go to Janakpur, which is Videha, which is in Nepal at the present-day Nepal. And it is a long distance. And he's going to go to meet his two devotees, Shutadev, the Brahmana, and Bahulasva, the king. So where he actually interacts with Bahulasva and Shutadev begins in verse 27. So you have this section here of a few verses where Krishna is going to travel. Sukadeva Goswami is going to speak about Krishna's traveling. And it is something that can easily pass us by just like this, without even noticing it. But yet, wonderful qualities of Krishna are revealed in this very, very brief section, this very few verses. Krishna will show the nature of his heart, the nature of his consciousness. And if our consciousness, instead of adhering to its usual tendency of being absorbed just in our own thoughts, in our own world, in the world of ahankar, the world of false ego, if we can somehow or another absorb our consciousness in Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and by the grace of Krishna, taste something of what it's like to be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then the false ego gradually will dissolve because we don't want it anymore. We don't take our mind and our thoughts and all our desires as if they are all important. Gradually, param drishtvena navartate, by the higher taste of associating with Krishna in Krishna consciousness, we begin to understand that there is a far superior, a more wonderful realm of consciousness. And that, of course, as we're saying, is Krishna consciousness. So in this 13th verse of the 86th chapter, we shall begin the narration of Krishna's journey to Janakpur, or Mathila. So this verse begins, Sri Suka Uvacha. So there's been no question asked by Maharaj Prickett that inspires Sukadev to speak. But he has his own inspiration. And he's going to speak of a pastime that he himself took part in. So Sukadev says, Krishna's yatchid dvija shreshta, that there was a dvija shreshta, the best of the brahmanas, who was of Krishna. He was a devotee of Krishna. Krishna's yatchid and shutadeva iti shutaha. He was known as Shutadev. Now listen to this. Krishnaika bhaktya punartaha. So what are the qualities that this Shutadev, who was a devotee, what qualities did he possess? Krishna eka bhaktya. He had Krishna eka bhakti. His devotion was focused one-pointed on Krishna. His thoughts, his mind, his desires weren't many-branched, bahushaka, tanantascha. Because if our consciousness is many-branched, yes, I want to be a devotee, yes, I want to have a relationship with Krishna, yes, I want to serve Krishna, but in addition to that, the branches of my desires spread everywhere. And yes, I take shelter of Krishna. And this is a touchy point even. Yes, I take shelter of Krishna. But also, I have so many credit cards, so many bank accounts, I know so many people, I know so many things. I have my emergency plans, my contingency plans. It is a sensitive point. I find that it is an embarrassing point. But Shrutadev was Krishna Eka. He was focused solely on Krishna and his service to Krishna. In Bhaktisandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami, in describing the Abhideya Tattva, the process of actually achieving Prema Bhakti, he explains, as Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, Anyabhilasita Sanyam Gyanakama Navrita Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Uttama. That the actual process of achieving prema bhakti, which is Krishna karshani, which attracts Krishna and fills one with unlimited bliss and actually brings Krishna under control, that is achieved only by this pure bhakti, pure devotional service, unalloyed, unmixed devotional service, Krishna eka, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Premadan. Krishna is everything for me. So this is Shrutadev being described. And then this chapter I see, I gave a contemporary analogy yesterday. It's like the mirror on a car when you're driving. So sometimes the side view mirror and the mirror up here, you look behind so you can see what's behind. So this chapter is pointing behind to what's already been discussed, to Vrindavan. Of course, in India, I've seen something different and still more wonderful. The people here, the drivers, are so pious. Instead of when there's a turn, instead of looking, they pray. I've actually seen that. So this Shrutadev, and we'll hear the qualities of that he has, but his focus on Krishna is going to cause Krishna to focus on him and actually traverse the distance to Janakpur to go and see Shrutadev and the king, Bahulasva. So, Purnartha, all his desires, all his goals were fulfilled by this full focus on Krishna. Do we trust that? That actually, if we give ourselves fully to Krishna, only focus on him, if we surrender completely, as he recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, mamekam sharanam, the thought that comes into my consciousness is, well, then who will take care of me? Shrutadev was not like that. Krishnaika bhaktya punarta. And as a result of that, Shanta, he was peaceful. Krishna Bhakta, Nishkam, Ateva Shanta. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. If we have other desires on so many different levels, Shakala Ashanta. He was peaceful. Kavir, he was learned. And Alampataha, he was free, not desirous of any sense gratification. So here's the translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, again, spontaneously. He was inspired to speak about Krishna. There was a devotee of Krishna's, known as Shrutadeva, who was a first-class brahmana, perfectly satisfied by rendering unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna. He was peaceful, learned, and free from sense gratification. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse, or rather Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Sukadev tells a special story that he spontaneously recollected, he remembered it, which he personally witnessed. Without being asked, he'll speak about this. The brahmana was a devotee of Krishna who took Krishna as his master. More about this brahmana. Living as a religious householder in the city of Mathila, within the kingdom of Vidheya, he managed to fulfill his obligations while maintaining himself with whatever sustenance easily came his way. He was so absorbed in his service, nija kriya, his own service. And again, the idea of actually being absorbed in our service, not service meaning our work, but our devotional offering, nija kriya, He was fully absorbed in his devotional offering to Krishna, and he maintained himself with whatever sustenance easily came his way. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, as a householder, he lived in Mithila city in Videha province, which is quite close to Kathmandu at the present. What he obtained without begging, that he accepted. But he accepted for himself only what he needed to survive. He did not accept more than he needed. So detached. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, he lived in Mithila in the province of Videha, and he maintained himself by accepting whatever food came of its own accord while absorbed in his service to the Lord. So he wasn't concentrating on focusing his mind on, I'm not going to take this and I'm not going to take that and I'm only going to accept whatever someone gives me without me even asking. That wasn't the focus on his consciousness. It was completely natural for him because of the intensity and the fullness of his focus on Krishna and his service to Krishna. Completely natural. Next verse, 15. By the will of providence, he obtained each day just what he needed for his maintenance, and no more. Satisfied with this much, he properly executed his religious duties. So such a special soul. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, he did what was favorable. He obtained what was necessary by the Lord's arrangement. Yoga chemam vaham yaham. I maintain what the devotee has and I supply what he requires. His faith in Krishna was full. It was complete. And therefore, because his faith was complete, he could take shelter of Krishna, Gotripte Varanam Tata, which basically means he could surrender to Krishna and depend on Krishna as he served. So he executed his duties in this mood. Now, here is a poor brahmana who was living in this way as a brahmana would naturally live. But also, text 16 describes a king, Bahulasva, who wasn't a beggar at all. But he was a king. Once when Bhim was asked by Draupadi during that time of exile to get her a 1,000-petaled lotus. So Bhim went charging up the mountain and he reached a pond that was the property of Kuvera. And it was guarded by many of Kuvera's soldiers, thousands of them. And Bhim went about picking these lotus flowers. And the protectors of the lake where they were growing said, you cannot take these without the permission of Kuvera. Take his permission and there will be no trouble. Otherwise, you cannot take them. And Bhima said, I am a Kshatriya. I don't beg from anyone. And he just started picking the lotus flowers. And they attacked him. And we all know the happy ending. They were all killed. And Bhim took as many lotus flowers as he wanted and brought them for Draupadi. So, Bahulasva, the Kshatriya, the king, who was a descendant of Maharaj Janak, the father of Sita Devi, And also, Lakshmi Mataji pointed out to me that Balaram had actually visited this king and stayed with him for quite a long time after when they were trying to retrieve the Sarmataka jewel. He was so attractive. So it's not the renunciation ultimately that's attractive at all. That's not what attracts Krishna. Or the opulence and power of the king. Or the warrior mentality. Krishna's going to go there attracted by the equal bhakti that these two great devotees had. It is only bhakti that interests Krishna. After all, he possesses everything. There is nothing that he lacks. That's the meaning of being the absolute truth. There is nothing external to him. Everything is his shaktis. There is nothing that exists independent of him. So when he acts, the question naturally comes, what causes him to act? He doesn't need anything. We act because we want something. Well, what causes Krishna to act? To move from here to here? To move, to do anything? It is this quality of that he is the lover of his devotees that causes him to act always, especially in Vrindavan, especially in Braja. So, in text 16, Tata tad rastrapalo anga. So the king is called the rastrapala, the protector of the land, of the kingdom. So there was tata also, similar to the brahmana, there was also a king who was exactly on the same level. Because the physical situation doesn't really, the external doesn't really make very much of a difference. What makes the difference is the bhakti. And there's such a tendency to want to always shift around the externals. But what we really need to do is shift around the internal. The internal meaning, our Krishna bhule se jeev, anadya bahimuk. We have to face Krishna, as His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj reminds us quite often, that we have to be in relationship with Krishna. And this is the great task of life. And we are so clever that we can even go through the externals of all the processes, even to the point of chanting Krishna's names or doing deity worship or doing anything, and keep ourselves in the center and forget all about Krishna. So we keep our mind on what the actual point of what we are doing is. It is seva. It is doing something with Krishna in the center for his pleasure. So both the king and the brahmana, one who is surrounded by opulence and the other who is basically poverty-stricken, were on the same level. And Srila Prabhupada points out later in his commentary on this in Krishna book that this is the point of the chapter, that the externals really don't attract Krishna. They don't make any difference. Bhakti can manifest anywhere. And where bhakti manifests, even it manifests in Vritrasura, who is a demon. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti can manifest in animals. Jatayu, a bird, Hanuman. So bhakti is very special, and Krishna consciousness is very special. And in one sense, the laws that govern the material world, that we tend to use to manipulate the material energy, they don't work. The opposite works. It's simply the tender offering of the heart to Krishna that saturates the externals of what we do. That is the essence of the process. Anya bilasita sunyam ganakamara navrita anukulena krishna anushila. May you be pleased by this offering. That is what Krishna is. He has everything else. So before it's Shuta Deva iti Shuta, but here it is Baholasva in text 16, iti Shuta. He was known as Baholasva, and he was an exalted descendant in the dynasty of Maharaj Janaka. Matilo niraham mama mana, that he was in the royal dynasty descending from the king of Matila Janaka, but niraham mana, that he didn't have a false ego thinking, I am a descendant of the great king Janaka, and who are you descending from? There was no false ego involved in his sense of who he was. He was thinking of himself as a servant of Krishna. And in that service to Krishna, he was the protector of the kingdom with his strength, with his opulence, with his Ishwar above, his mood. But there was no false ego involved. And this, of course, is the key to success in service in Krishna consciousness. Is you can be the king. You can be anything for Krishna's pleasure, but no false ego. You can take as much wealth as you can. Like Prabhupada once commented that there's a famous picture of a Bengali so-called saint. Someone's offering him money, and Prabhupada this so-called saint is going like this. And Prabhupada commented that you can take a picture of me, and someone is offering money, and I'm going like this, more, more. Because the whole world, the whole universe, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktavar is Krishna's and should be engaged in his service. Lakshmi is meant for Krishna's pleasure. So, Niraham Mana, in his mind there was no ahankar. He was not the center. He was not the center. Krishna was the center. Ubhav apya chuta priya, and both of them, the king and the brahmana, were equally dear to Krishna. Here's the translation. Similarly, free from false ego was the ruler of that kingdom, my dear Parikit, a descendant of the Mithila dynasty named Baholasva. Both these devotees were very dear to Lord Achyuta. Text 17. Now here, this was just the background on who these devotees were. Now, pleased with both of them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, mounted his chariot, which Duruka had brought, and he traveled to Videha with a group of sages. Tayo prasano bhagavan durukena aritam ratam, on the chariot, the rat brought by Duruka, aruha sakam munibir, he mounted sakam along with the munis, these sages. He went on the same chariot as them. Videhan prayayao Prabhu, the Lord went with the sages on the chariot to visit these two great souls. So, for your information, and by the mercy of Google Maps, We can tell you exactly how many kilometers it is from to Janakpur from Dwarka. In miles, it is 1,097.59. Kilometers, a straight 1,850. So Krishna, 1,850 kilometers. And by the way, in case you're interested, to go from Dwarka to Mathura is 1,297 kilometers and 677 meters. Now, this is handy information to write in your notes in case you're in Dwarka and planning to come to Mathura and Vrindavan. But also note, and this is interesting, to me it was interesting, that it's 1,850 kilometers to Janakpur, Mathila, and only 1,297 and 677 meters to Mathura. So it's 50% more to Janakpur. And Krishna was ready to get on his chariot from Dwarka and go to Janakpur. But sometimes we think, I'd like to go to this place, but it's too far. Why is it that Krishna didn't come to Mathura? It wasn't the distance, clearly. But there's something that our acharyas will reveal here that even touches that point. So pleased with both of them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead mounted his chariot which Duruka had brought and traveled to Videha with a group of sages. The purport here. In his commentary on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that Shrutadeva and Bahulaspa were unable to travel to Dwarka to see Lord Krishna because both of them had vowed to regularly worship their personal deities at home. So they were worshipping Krishna at home in one form or another. But Sri Krishna was very glad to go out of his way to give them both his audience. And while leaving Dwarka, he insisted that the sages who wanted to come with him should join him on his chariot, because otherwise they would exhaust themselves following on foot. Renowned sages would ordinarily never even consider traveling in such an opulent conveyance. But on the Lord's order, they put aside their natural aversion and joined him on their chariot. On his chariot, rather. And Srila Jiva Goswami, on this verse, text 17, comments, Krishna went on his chariot with the sages, on the same chariot, because the two devotees had such attraction for him. Did you hear that? The sages came, but that's not the point. Why did Krishna go? It's because Krishna, those devotees, the two of them, were full in their attraction to Krishna. And even though they physically couldn't come to Dwarka to see Krishna, they knew he was on in this world. They couldn't come. They didn't come. But they were so attracted to him. Their thoughts were full of Krishna, 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 Krishna. And because of the fullness of their Krishna consciousness, even though one could say that their material situation wasn't the ideal situation because they weren't living right so close to Dwarka like Sudama was living, and he could just walk there, or someone else, or living right in the neighborhood, or but yet, because their attraction was flourishing, they attracted Krishna. So on one hand, there is Krishna's business, or Krishna's, because every relationship is a relationship. You can't have a relationship with yourself. There's always the lover and the beloved. There's two parts of the relationship. And where most relationships break down is because everyone, the one part of the relationship is always thinking what the other person should be doing and what they're not doing. But what makes relationships work is when everyone sticks to performing, their consciousness is fixed on properly performing their part of the relationship. Doing their own duty, doing their own part so nicely. So, as aspiring devotees, we can learn from this what our part of the relationship is in relationship to Krishna. And it is to make our attraction to Krishna burst into flames. That is our duty. Of course, when it's bursting into flames, we won't think of it as our duty, but it is completely natural then. But this is what our prime service is, in one sense, is to become attracted to Krishna, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, for Krishna Bhakti Rasita Bhavatomati, that's what Prabhupada translated the word Krishna Consciousness from, Krishna Bhakti Rasita Bhavata, that to have the bhava of Krishna Bhakti Ras in relationship with Krishna. So these devotees in the faraway city of Mathila were in Krishna Bhakti Ras, and they were attracted to him, and he became attracted to them because of their attraction to him. Text. So here's a quality of Krishna that is revealed here, that Krishna is attracted to his devotees. And even Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Janmad Yasya Yata Anvayaritras Chateshu Bhigyasarat. There, he's given three different translations of that verse. The one that we're familiar with, which describes, from Srila Prabhupada's translation of the Bhagavatam, that describes Krishna as the absolute truth, the source of everything. But also Srila Jiva Goswami describes this verse meaning, Janma Dyasya Yataha, that after his birth, meaning after Krishna's birth, then Yato Anvayor Itiras, after his birth, he went to another place, because Krishna was born in Mathura. And why did he go to the other place, and where was that other place? It was the place of Nanda Maharaj. It was Gokul. It was Vrindavan. It was a more intimate place. And why did he go there? Abhigya Swarat. Abhigya means he is all-knowing. So he knew the reason why Vasudeva was carrying him across. And that reason was that, of course, Kamsa had killed so many of the other children, and he was going to be protected. But the other reason was that his dear devotees, the Brijbasis, were there. And he was attracted to them. Swarat, that he was going to shine in the assembly of his own people who are already effulgent. So Krishna so attracted to the Brijbasis and the land of Vrindavan, left his birthplace to go to be with them. So this is Krishna. He is attracted to his devotees. He's attracted to the devotion of his devotees. And if we wish to attract Krishna, because there is no other way to become Krishna conscious, in fact, is to attract the mercy of Krishna. And the way to attract the mercy of Krishna is to become very attached to Krishna and to become bhakta-janapriya and to become attached to those who are attached to Krishna and to be in the association of devotees and discuss Krishna in the association of devotees. And to somehow, despite the tendency from so many thousands and millions of births in the material world and having so much dust on my consciousness covering the natural longing to be with Krishna that every soul naturally possesses, if we can somehow hear and chant in the association of devotees, in the holy place, and worship Krishna in his form of the deity. If we can somehow push through the fog, the inauspicious fog that covers our consciousness, and somehow or another let the light of spiritual topics with spiritual potency, if that can somehow enter our consciousness, it will give life and light in the darkness, and that light and life will grow to the point it must grow, because there is in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's this at some point Narada Muni asks Krishna, please give me a benediction. And Krishna, of course, says, yes, what benediction do you want? And Narada Muni says, in a most mysterious way, he says, please benedict that however much bhakti your devotees have, they'll never feel it's enough. And Krishna was thinking, why is he asking for that? But Krishna was thinking, why is he asking for that? Because he already knows it's true. Because that's the very nature of bhakti, that no one becomes satiated thinking, I've had enough, thank you. Now I can play cricket or something. Or now I have to do something else for a change. I've had enough bhakti. No, thank you. Now I'm going to try mystic yoga. While these desires are in our consciousness, perhaps, if we get an infusion of bhakti, those desires just go. And if we don't get infusions of bhakti, if our bhakti doesn't grow, if it doesn't blaze, if we don't water it, ihan mali nitya seshi shravanadi jal, if we don't water the creeper of our bhakti with sufficient hearing and chanting and association and with the best of devotees and all the rest, etc., then the weeds will grow and the material desires will grow. Naturally, they must grow because we won't be satisfied. And bhakti, on the other hand, it demands more bhakti, like fire that's blazing, demands more fuel. It won't be satisfied with anything but more fuel that will make it grow more. That is bhakti. So Krishna said, why does Narada Muni ask me this question? He's so clever. There must be some reason why he's asking that. And then Krishna says, oh, I know why. He wants the glories of bhakti to come from my mouth. So I speak about bhakti. I myself, Krishna says, glorify bhakti. That which actually, the only thing that can please the unlimited Supreme Lord, who is Satchidananda. It's the love of his, the natural, simple love of his devotees, those who love him. He'll even be satisfied with a leaf, a flower. It's not that he lacks leaves and flowers and water. But if it's given bhakti paritam, if it's offered to him with actual love, he wants it. His hunger increases. He loves that taste. He's tasting the bhakti that the offerings are made with. It is so simple to understand. So difficult to get me from the center. And not, as Maharaj was saying yesterday, not subtly try to pull that pratishta from it, yata upasaka gan, in the words of Mahaprabhu, speaking to Srila Rupa Goswami. These weeds, especially this subtle desire to keep oneself in the center and to pull something from me. But these devotees were not like that. What to speak of the Brijbasis? Mother Yashoda was ready to give up her life 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, to save Krishna from one drop of perspiration that was intolerable for her to see him in any inconvenience. When Krishna, we heard how when Krishna put down the hill, Mother Yashoda was massaging his hand immediately. Oh, you look so thin. You haven't eaten. You've been working so hard. Anything for Krishna. But this cannot be imitated, this anything for Krishna. If we do that based on the strength of our mind or it just doesn't work. It has to be the natural outpouring, a natural growth of devotion to Krishna, a falling in love with Krishna, a turning to Krishna. So the sages were on the chariot, and Krishna was on the chariot, and he was going to go, attracted by his devotees, these two devotees, he was going to take the journey to Mithila. Now, 18 describes, says the names of the sages. Sukadev says, amongst these sages were Narada, Vamadev, Atri, Krishnaya, Krishna Dwapayana Vyas, Parsaram, Asita, Aruni, myself, Sukadev Goswami says, I was on that chariot too. Brihaspati, Kanvamuni, Maitreya, Chayavan. So Krishna took them all on the chariot. And then, in every city, because it was 1,850 kilometers, in every city and town the Lord passed along the way, O King, the people came forward to worship him because Krishna was coming. Krishna was passing along their road. Just imagine what that would be like. That Krishna is on this gorgeous chariot. He's so beautiful. He's decorated like a king, but his eyes are lotus-eyed. always, and he's so powerful. He's garlanded, his hands are pinkish, his complexion is darkish. He's in opulence, and he's going to pass by. And everyone came forward to worship him with offerings of argyu water in their hands, water that is meant for the worship of the sun, as if to worship the risen sun surrounded by the planets. The sages are compared to the planets because the planets in the sky at night are bright, but not as bright as the sun. So when the sun is in the sky, one cannot see the other planets. So Krishna Surya Sam, he was like the sun, so bright and effulgent. And therefore, the argyu water, which is used to worship the sun, was so appropriately offered to him. Text 20. Now, this is the, in order, our acharyas say, this is the order that Krishna traveled. Remember, he's going on this long journey to Janakpur in Nepal. And he passed through many cities and towns and provinces. So, the people of Anarta is not the people who have Anartas. That province would be quite full and overpopulated. But Anarta is where? Does anyone know where Anarta is? You know, it's Gujarat. Huh? It is that specifically that section of Gujarat, the Dwarka section. So first, the region in which Dwarka is situated, Dhanva, the desert of Gujarat and Rajasthan, Kuru Jangala, the region of the Kuru forests, Kanka, Matsya is Jaipur area, Panchal. So Krishna is moving in this whole area with the sages on the chariot. And everywhere, people are seeing him. Now, why is Krishna doing this? And our acharyas say that Krishna is simply independent and he gives his mercy as he so likes. And this is something to note in the qualities of Krishna. There is the... I'll finish reading the verse and then... Because he just passes. But listen to this too. He goes through Matsya, Jayapur. He goes to Panchal, which is... Panchala is where... Who is from Panchal? Jhopadi, but that's the Punjab area. And Kunti, Malava, I don't know where that is. Madhu is Mathura. Madhupuri, Mathura. So he goes right up to the point of Mathura. KK, northeast Punjab. Kaushal, the ancient kingdom of Lord Ramachandra, near Kashi. Arna, Mathila on the east, and others. And as he was going, the verse explains, his lotus face, he was all these people, the verse says, drank with their eyes. Try to see this picture, because the eyes become like a tongue when it comes to Krishna. And the eyes are capable of drinking the nectarian beauty of Krishna's lotus-like face, so soft and delicate, with his eyes coming to his ears in the shape of a lotus petal, coming to his ears. And they drank the beauty of his lotus-like face, which was graced with generous smiles. He was smiling at everyone. And affectionate glances. He was looking at everyone with affection. And in this way, capturing their hearts. Now, I'll read, because you did hear that he passed by Mathura. You did hear that and note that. So, I will read comment by Srila Jiva Goswami. The people of Anartha and other places, all the men and women, saw Krishna's lotus face with great attraction because Krishna placed his form in front of them. By his causeless mercy, they were so attracted. They had to be attracted. Why? Because they were innocent. Everyone but Kamsa, the Kamsa types, the Shishupal types, who have such enmity in their heart, they are not attracted. But the innocent must be attracted. There are so many contemporary stories of just ordinary people. Someone was telling me one just a couple of days ago of someone who saw a deity who well, Maharaj mentioned about seeing Prabhupada, but seeing a deity. Yeah, what did he?
Prabhupada was fully manifest.
But so many people have seen deities, just ordinary people, Westerners who never saw deities before and just were shocked into just saying, "I, what is this? What world is it? It's a different realm. A different realm, the realm of Krishna, the land of beauty, the reservoir of beauty and grace." So they saw Krishna's lotus face with great attraction. The provinces are listed in order when traveling from Dwarka to Videha. Some are in the list of neighboring states, so Krishna naturally went there. But others, he went out of his own longing to see some place, even though those places were far away. He went to other places to give them mercy. And to all the places he went, one after another, he gave them bliss. Krishna is independent in bestowing his mercy. He, the Upanishadic verse beginning with Nayam Atma, explains that he gives his mercy to whom he wants. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? Hopeful. Some of us less than hopeful, maybe. Because there are so many people who want Krishna's mercy. Now, how is he going to notice this little one who has such a big conception of himself? Now, why will he notice me, even though I think I should be the first person that he noticed? But why, in fact, that very thought that I'm so prominent is a disqualification? Now, why should he notice me? Now, this question we won't speak about now, or maybe it will come up right at the end. Yes, it might come up right at the very end. But Krishna doesn't lack potency to sprinkle mercy on everyone. And because he gives it to one person, doesn't mean that he's going to run out in any way. And while Krishna can give his mercy to anyone who he wants, and there's no real other way to come to him, still, we should put our consciousness like Shrutadev and Mahalasva did on their part in the equation, on what they should do. Because the tendency is always to be, again, in a relationship, to be thinking about what the other person should be doing. But rather than doing that, we should think about what we should be doing. What our part in the relationship is. And our part is to become servants. Krishnaika, Eka, focused on him. And leave his part to him. Because he is an ocean of mercy. He is an ocean of mercy with a soft lotus heart that's like honey. Sweet and soft and liquid at room temperature. But we should keep our mind on what we should be doing. And what should we be doing? We should be increasing our attraction to Krishna by following the process that will increase our attraction to Krishna. And Krishna is attracted to those who are attracted to him. So are we. It's natural. It's natural to be attracted to those who love us, and Krishna is the most natural. So, Srila Jiva Goswami continues, this verse, so he gave everyone bliss out of his causeless mercy. And Srila Jiva Goswami continues, this verse also mentions that he met the people of Madhu, of Braja. He did this by entering into the aprakata pastimes there, since the residents by this time had disappeared already. Krishna had gone. This is chapter 86, and after the 77th chapter, after Krishna kills Dantavakra, the final demon, and his brother Vidyarata, the final demon, his mission was finished, and he did that in Mathura. And it's very interesting. After Krishna killed Salva, he came from far away to kill Salva in Dwarka. Then he heard that Dantavakra was attacking Mathura. And who was Dantavakra in his previous life? Huh? Who? Jayavijay or? And next life, Ravana Kumbhakarna, like that. He was a powerful demon who was so hated Krishna due to the pastime of Jayavijay. So Krishna, at that time, he just killed Salva. He was outside of the city of Dwarka. And he heard that Dantavakra was attacking Mathura. So naturally what Krishna would do is enter into Dwarka and take permission from his elders and then go to Mathura to fight with Dantavakra. But Krishna didn't do it in this case because he knew that Mathura was so close to Braja and that the people of Dwarka would never give him permission to get that close to Braja. Why? Because they knew that he would never come back. They feared that. Because they also knew how much the residents of Vrindavan loved him. And they knew that Krishna was so captivated by the love of his devotees. He would never be able to leave them, to break free from their embrace. We won't enter much into Madhavananda Prabhu's class material, but when Kaliya is holding Krishna so tightly, trying to crush him, Srila Sanatana Goswami gives a very rustic, sweet explanation of why Krishna didn't immediately expand, because he stayed within the grip of Kaliya for one muhurta, which is 48 minutes, causing the Brijbasis so much anxiety because he was being crushed by this horrible snake. So Sanatana Goswami gives us a sweet explanation why he remained in the grip for 48 minutes. And he says, because when someone is embracing you, it is not polite to break quickly free from that embrace. One time I told that to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He was so happy to hear that. So Krishna then went to, without asking permission, he went to Mathura, killed Dantavakra, killed Vidyarata, and then with his chariot even, he bathed in Vishramgat, and then crossed the river. He put on Gopa Vesh, the clothes of a cowherd boy, and everyone began to say that Krishna has returned, Krishna has returned, Krishna has returned. And then everyone came back to life because Krishna was there. And then after some time, after several months, Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan, they couldn't relax because the chariot was there still. And they were thinking at any time, this is the nature of prema. It's full of anxiety. If you want Shanta Ras, which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur explains why Shanta Ras isn't actually accepted as a rasa in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It doesn't bring one to the point of rasa. Because in rasa there must be churning of emotions. And Shanta Ras is just Shanta, Shanta, Shanti, 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 peace. And sometimes I think, yes, that's the rasa. That would be an interesting change if anyway. An alternative to what usually goes on, but Shanta Rasa isn't a rasa. In Braj, there is always a rubbing of emotions. There is meeting, there is separation, there is this and that. And Krishna is Rasaraj. He's the one, and his potency is a churning these emotions all the time. It's like compared in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, it's like a tidal wave and there are so many subordinate little waves coming and splashing and moving around. It's a tidal wave that overwhelms everyone. It pushes everything aside. Tsunami, a tidal wave of ecstasy. So the residents of Vrindavan, in their tidal wave of ecstasy and relishing Krishna's presence, were experiencing fear, Bhayanaka. Because now, having tasted what it feels like when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, they could not relax, thinking at any time a Krura may come, or someone else may come, or this may happen, or that may happen. So Nanda Maharaj placed that before Krishna. He said, we only want to be with you, Krishna. We never want to be separate from you, not even for a moment. We don't want to blink our eyes. This is the mood of Vrindavan. The blinking of their eyes separates them from seeing the all-attractive form of Krishna, and they cannot tolerate it. So then Krishna made an arrangement, and using that very chariot, it expanded, and Nanda Maharaj, and he took them all to the other Vrindavan, the uppercut Vrindavan. So Vrindavan at this time was empty. So Krishna, on the prakat level, so Krishna had visited them on the uppercut level, Srila Vishwanath Chakra, or Srila Jiva Goswami says. So that means that Krishna, in fact, at any time, without traversing the distance, could be with the Brijbasis on the uppercut level. And in fact, he always was with them. In so many places this is described. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, there's such a touching part of the Bhagavatam when Nanda Maharaj, after Kamsa has been killed, Nanda Maharaj says Krishna, because Vasudeva won't come and see Nanda Maharaj, So he's wondering, Nanda Maharaj is wondering, what's going on here? No one will come and talk to me. And he's hearing, Nanda Maharaj is hearing, actually Krishna's the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And he refuses to believe that. So there's a very touching scene. This is the chapter 45 where Krishna goes to Gurukul. Touching scene, this so-called separation between Nanda Maharaj and where Krishna and Balaram stay behind. First Nanda Maharaj says, Balaram, you stay and Krishna will come, because Krishna says we have to give them some attention. And Balaram says, I can't do it. I can't be apart from Krishna. So anyway, the reconciliation of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is that one set of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, and all the Brijbasis, and Balaram, an uppercut set, returned with Krishna, because Padam Ekam Nagachati, Krishna cannot leave Vrindavan. He is in their grip due to their prema bhakti. And another set went back without Krishna. And that set was merged in the ocean of ecstatic Vipralamha Bhav, not being able to think of anything but where is Krishna? When is he coming? When is Krishna coming? He sent the messenger saying, that I am coming, I am coming, I am coming. Just he kept messenger after messenger told the Brijbasis when he was leaving with Akrura, I am coming, I am coming and coming. I am coming. But the Brijbasis didn't trust that, because one Krishna in the hand is worth 1,000 promises that Krishna is coming kal, pasun, the next day. So Krishna visited them in uppercut Vrindavan. And he gave mercy to everyone. Text 21. Simply by glancing at those who came to see him, Lord Krishna, the spiritual master of the three worlds, delivered them from the blindness of materialism. Now there is a comment here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that I want you to listen to very, very, very carefully. But first I'll complete the verse. By his glance, it is not by our glance, our seeing, that will free us from the doubts, the delusions, the attachments. It is by Krishna's glance, by being seen by Krishna. So by his glance, he endowed them with fearlessness, and his glance gave them divine vision. And he heard demigods and men singing his glories, which purify the entire universe and destroy all misfortune. Did you hear that? I heard it because I was also reading it. That the glories of Krishna fill us with fearlessness and destroy all misfortune. Because they are the light of transcendental knowledge. They are Krishna himself. Therefore we should hear Krishna Katha. We should hear Krishna's names. We should chant Krishna Katha. We should serve Krishna. We should chant Krishna's names. We should chant Krishna's names alone and with others. Anande bolo hari bhaja Vrindavan. We should. This is the life of a devotee. Gradually, gradually, by taking this long route, he reached Videha. Krishna's glories have power. They are potent. They destroy the darkness of Kali Yuga. Puranarko dunoditaha. They are the sun. The Bhagavatam is the sun that has arisen in Kali Yuga to destroy the darkness, the intense disease of materialism that infects everyone, that is being propagated by, as Prabhupada's term, so-called modern civilization, is propagating, infecting everyone with the disease that kills 100% of the time, materialism, identification with the body, ignorance. And the glorious Bhagavatam and Krishna Katha and the holy name of Krishna destroy this. The comment of Srila Jiva Goswami. The ignorance in their eyes was destroyed by his glance. He gave them fearlessness. He gave them vision. Their eyes were endowed with prakasha shakti, his energy that causes revelation, that they understood everything, again, not by their power, but by mercy, his mercy. By the manifestation of those eyes, when he gave them eyes, then they could see Krishna. By him seeing them, then they could see him. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada would say, quoting his Guru Maharaj, don't try and see Krishna. Not that we shouldn't try and see Krishna, but don't think you can see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna can see you. Do your part. How could they relish, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, how could they relish the sweetness of the Lord's form? Because he's spiritual and their eyes are material. He answers that question by his glance. By his glance. He destroyed the ignorance in their eyes by their merciful, by his merciful glance. And he bestowed upon them the realization of the supreme object. And he gave them devotion to himself, which is the only means of realizing his sweetness. I am only obtainable by bhakti, bhaktyaham ekaya graha. Hearing that Lord Achyuta had arrived, O king, the residents of the cities and villages of Videha joyfully came forward to receive him with offerings in their hands. They didn't come empty-handed. One time in Hong Kong, Prabhupada asked me to bring him a Bhagavad Gita, and we didn't have one in the place we were staying. So I came empty-handed before Prabhupada, and he said, all you have is your face. That's all you have to give me, your face. Which he didn't want to see. He wanted to see the Bhagavad Gita. You're laughing. I didn't laugh at that time. I will tell you that. All you have to give me is your face. Ha, 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 ha. Now, as soon as the people saw Lord Uttamasloka, this is text 23, their faces and hearts blossomed with affection, joining their palms above their heads like this. I remember the first time I heard of this was in one of your classes when you explained years ago when you offered, maybe it was the Krishna Valastav when you were explaining the different types of obeisances. This was one of them. And I was thinking, what an interesting form of obeisance like this. We don't usually think of this as an obeisance. But there's a reason, which I found out in one of the commentaries, why this obeisance is so wonderful. Is they join their palms above their heads, and then they bow down to the Lord and the sages accompanying him, whom they had previously only heard about. They had only heard about the sages. Now they were seeing them with the Krishna and the sages. So if you, when we offer obeisances like this, for example, or sometimes we go like this, but usually you bow your head. And when you bow your head, you can't see Krishna. But when you go like this, you're offering your obeisances, and you can see Krishna at the same time. That's why that type of obeisances, that's why they offered that type of obeisances. Because they could see Krishna, because they had heard about him. And now, the effulgent, beautiful Lord was standing in front of them. And they weren't going to miss the opportunity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Advaitacharya that you had circumambulated Lord Jagannath, but I stand back and I am in a better position than you because I always see his lotus face and you at sometimes cannot see him because you are walking around him. And they laughed and joked in this way. Because once one's eyes want to see Krishna, when once Krishna has seen us, and our eyes become like tongues that cannot give up the sweetness of the madhu face of Krishna, how will we blink? How will we bow down? Not possible, practically speaking. The residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna was leaving, they stood like what? Like statues or painted pictures. The figure in a painting, they could not move. They could not move. They were stunned. Now, so now Krishna's journey to Mathila has ended. He's there. And he has gone to see Shutadev. He has gone to see Bahulasva. So both these devotees, Krishna had come. And both these devotees fell, King of Mathila and Shutadev, fell at the Lord's feet, each thinking that the spiritual master of the universe had come there just to show them, to show him, each was thinking individually, he has come to show me mercy. And at exactly the same time, because they were so eager, both of them, they had been thinking about Krishna, they had been worshipping Krishna, and they were feeling that I cannot go and visit him because of my service to him here. And now he was there in front of them, the object of their desire, the most perfect vision for their eyes. They each came forward to join him, with joined palms. And immediately, both of them at the same time invited the Lord of the Dasaharas, Krishna, to be his guest along with the Brahmin sages. Please come to my house. Please, why? Please allow me to serve you in person. I want to serve you. I want to offer you things. I want to please you in person. You are here. It was a desire in their heart that was uncontrollable to serve. And then the final verse we'll read. Wanting to please them both, the Lord accepted both their invitations. At the same time, these both devotees who are equal asked Krishna, come to my house. And Krishna said yes at the same time to both of them. And he simultaneously went to both homes, and neither of them could see him entering the other's house. Because if they saw him expanding into two Krishnas with two groups of sages, something would have been lost. This way, they thought, oh,
Krishna has accepted my invitation. And there was intimacy. He's accepted my invitation. I have asked him to come to my house. There are thousands of people, and he's accepted my invitation. Intimacy.
The comment of Jiva Goswami, we'll just read this and then we'll end the class. Wanting to please both of them, the Lord accepted both their invitations. Thus he simultaneously went to both homes, and neither could see him entering the other's house. I was wondering why Krishna arranged it so neither could see the other. Why didn't he just expand and allow everyone to see it? But the intimacy would have been lost. That would have meant, love means intimacy. The Lord entered both houses completely with all the sages. The Lord thus expanded into two forms, and the sages also became two forms, but not by their own power, but by the Lord's will. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expands this point as even further. Please listen. Understanding that both Shrutadeva and Baholasva wanted him to come to their houses, he expanded himself and the sages into two forms and entered both houses without the other person seeing it. The king thought, merciful Krishna, he is so kind to me. He has accepted my invitation and he's coming to my house. And Shrutadeva is going home alone. And Shrutadeva thought, Krishna has accepted my invitation and the king is going home alone. Now, so understand what this has to mean. So the king and the brahmana also developed two forms. One joyful with Krishna and the other one despondent without Krishna. So one had the fortune of being with Krishna and the other had the fortune of lamenting, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? When will he? I am so faulty. I have no bhakti. He has not come. He is not with me. The one that wasn't with Krishna didn't say, oh, anyway, I have the internet. I can just, or open the refrigerator, or I can do something else. He was left in lamentation. Oh, where is Krishna? When will Krishna come and give me his mercy? When will Krishna come and give me his mercy? But Vishwanath's comment doesn't end here. So the neighbors of the king who was with Krishna on going to Shrutadeva's house saw him there alone, saw Shrutadeva. All the neighbors were also in two forms. And saw Shrutadeva, the neighbors of Krishna, the king, saw Shrutadeva alone and despondent without Krishna. So what happens when you see someone? This point also came up. When you see someone who is alive in separation from Krishna, it's so catching. You become infected. Oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And the assistants of Shrutadeva, who were with Krishna, going to the king's house, saw the king there alone and despondent without Krishna. So that one Prabhu you asked yesterday about, how could this happen and that happen? Well, how could this and that and this and that and this and this is the land of the impossible, where the impossible continuously happens. Krishna is control of time and space. And Giriraj, we usually see the little picture of Krishna, little Giriraj, but Krishna held up the entire mountain. Little boy. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Sri mysterious journey to Janakpur by Krishna. Thank you very much. Now, one very important announcement may I make? That now it is 12:02 and 2 seconds. Use this time very carefully to make your bodies peaceful and relaxed and rested, so that when Maharaj begins to speak, that our ears become like cups, and that everything and funnels, that we will be able to hear very attentively and get the mercy of the words of Manu Shiksha spoken by Maharaj. So please do the needful. Do rest if required. Use the bathrooms if required. And even eat if required. But be here attentive and on time at 3:30. Thank you very much.